I was 17 when I joined the Navy. Assigned to the landing craft, landed the Marines on Iwo Jima, and I saw them raise the flag twice.
This is Crow's Feet, a place where we ponder the question, are these our golden years, or does aging just suck? Well, yes, getting older is not for the faint-hearted, but aging also brings wisdom and humor, a finely tuned perspective on life. In our podcast, you'll meet writers and others rethinking our later years, people who inspire us to reimagine our future.
November 11th is Veterans Day. It's a day dedicated to commemorating the service of all United States veterans. It is a day filled with tears, joy, and a few moments of reflection for those who served, lived, or died in the armed forces. My name is Lee Bench. Proud to say that I am a dual service veteran, having served honorably in the United States Air Force and the United States Coast Guard Reserve. I'd like to welcome you to the Crow's Feet, Life as We Age, Veterans Day Salute. History fades over time, but to many veterans, they were there as history unfolded. They were on the shores of Normandy, at Iwo Jima, Guadalcanal, and Midway. They were attacked on Porkchop Hill in Korea, surprised and under attack in the Tet Offensive in Vietnam. They were soldiers innocently killed in the Marine barracks in Beirut. They were on the ground in two Gulf Wars in the Middle East, and more recently, fighting in the mountains of Afghanistan. Some were lost, some were wounded, and some were mentally scarred for life, while some made it through without impairment. They are all part of a band of brotherhood. They are our fathers, mothers, brothers, and sisters. They are friends, cousins, and neighbors. They shall always be remembered, never forgotten. There are many veterans organizations, and they are all doing great things. One in particular stands out. It's a group that fosters a living experience by taking our nation's heroes to Washington, D.C., to visit the war memorials dedicated to them and their fallen brothers. The group is called Honor Flight. One of the most respected Honor Flight hubs is Honor Flight Southland, south of Los Angeles, California. I am excited to welcome our guest today, Craig Van Doren, founder and president of Honor Flight Southland. Welcome, Craig. Tell us in your own words what Honor Flight is.
I come from a military background. My mom and my dad were both Navy, World War II. My brother's Air Force, my cousins and uncles were all Navy. I could not serve myself, so this was kind of my way of giving back. And we decided to incorporate our little selves in 2014. We started collecting funds and took our first trip in June of 2015.
Can you explain a little bit about what Honor Flight is and what your overall mission is?
First of all, our mission is a real simple one. We take our most senior veterans back to Washington, D.C. for a free three-day trip to go back and celebrate and enjoy and visit and view the memorials that were built in their honor. Well, since 2005, over 270,000 veterans, we call it a tour of honor, and it's free. And the people always ask, well, what's the catch? There's no catch. It's free. They'll tell you that.
Tell me about the veterans. What's the overall mix, World War II, Korean, Vietnam?
Yeah, we started out, it was all World War II. Then we kind of migrated to World War II and Korea. It was a mix of World War II and Korea. And then last year, we took three trips last year. We actually were able to get into the Vietnam veterans, which was really fantastic for us. And I got to tell you, each of the groups has a personality. World War II had a personality. Korea vets have a personality. Vietnam especially has a personality. We talked long and hard about when we get into the Vietnam veterans, what do we have to do? Do we have to do something different? Well, we learned pretty quickly what we had to do and what we didn't have to do. If we were at the wall, for an example, and a Vietnam vet was having some emotional issues going on, which is very common, we learned quickly just to step back, and their brothers would come in and console them. And coming to DC and getting that closure, if you will, at the Vietnam wall was somewhat cathartic for them. It was a very emotional thing. It was a good thing.
What are they communicating back to you? Is it more than appreciation?
We send what's called a guardian along with every veteran that goes. And that guardian is basically the veteran's safety net, if you will, for the weekend. They're responsible for making sure the vet's always taken care of. We never leave a veteran alone. They're always with a vet. And the guardian can be a family. We encourage a family member or a friend to go as a guardian. If they don't have any, which sometimes happens, we have volunteers that are happy to step up to the plate and pay to go. But the thing that's interesting is almost every trip this will happen. The vets will be there and they'll be with their son or daughter or maybe grandson, granddaughter as their guardian. And the two vets will start talking. And it could be the son or the daughter standing right next to them. And they turn to me and they'll go, "I never heard this story. I never heard this." They've kept it suppressed and you know, kind of off the radar for years. Yet when they get together, boom, the stories come out. It's such a fun thing to see.
Okay, so how do you take nominations? How do you find people?
If somebody just goes to our website, which is honorflightsouthland.org, they've taken the first step to apply and nominate somebody. Then there's no formal nomination process, Lee. They just have to go on our website, go to the applications tab, put the application out and send it in to us. We've pretty much gone through all the World War II and Korea guys. We just took a trip a week ago. We had 3 World War II, we had 4 Korea vets, and then 29 Vietnam veterans. We take a total of 36 vets on each trip. World War II still are out there.
I was 17 when I joined the Navy. So I signed to the landing craft, landed the Marines on Iwo Jima, and I saw them raise the flag twice. In Japan, I went to where they dropped the bomb. I was there watching. I saw that. You know, I listened to them when they were signing the peace treaty. I was in the bay there, and I was watching them sign the treaty.
We took a gentleman a few years back, Luke Dixon, who was 104 at the time that he came with us. He was sharp as a tack. And he just recently passed away last year at 109.
In D.C., what are your major sites that you visit?
Typically, we have a motorcycle escort from a group called the BWI Brownies. They'll escort us into the city with our two buses. Mm-hmm. And our first stop of the day is always Arlington National Cemetery. And they put us in a special area that's not generally open to the public, up close and personal seats. They're there for the changing of the guard. And then we finally cracked the code to get to lay a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown. That is a life changer. I'll tell you right now, when you're up there with the sentry guards and you're walking up to the tomb, that's emotion. So since that time, and we finally cracked that code, we now draw two names out of the hats, and the veteran and their guardians go up and get to lay a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown. After that, we then head over generally to the Air Force Memorial, which is pretty dramatic if you've never seen it, with the spires going up in the air. Then we go back to the Marine Corps, or some people call it the Iwo Jima Memorial. We try to focus on each branch. We give everybody their moment here. Then we head over to where the World War II Memorial is. We take a beautiful group photo that turns out always nice. And we only take the photo there because it lends itself to a big, giant group photo. So after the World War II, we head down to the Vietnam, Korea, and Lincoln memorials at the other end of the pond. And then at the end of the day, we go over to the FDR Memorial, which is kind of across the street from Lincoln and Vietnam and Korea. And it's almost like a decompression. The FDR is a very peaceful memorial. It's a walkthrough. It's all outside. You're looking at the tidal basin. They have a lot of benches to sit and reflect upon. And then we head back to the hotel, have a nice banquet, nice meal, maybe a guest speaker or two. And then on Sunday, we do one of two things. We either go over to Fort McHenry in Baltimore, which was the inspiration for Francis Scott Key in the Star Spangled Banner. And they do a flag, we call it a flag ceremony, where the ranger comes out, brings out a flag in a big old knapsack. As they unfold it, and they unfold it stripe by stripe, star by star, he explains what each stripe, what each star means. And we end up with the singing the Star Spangled Banner, but he explains each line of it. And it's really beautiful. I've had so many vets come up to me and said, "You know what, Craig, I've sang that song a million times, but I didn't really know what it meant. Now I know what it means."
It's pretty touching.
Honestly, the most rewarding thing I've done in my life. And it's just so, you know, I happen to come to this part of my life to be able to do it. So it's a treat. It's a treat.
So if you guys are flying commercial, what's the impact to all the other passengers that are not part of your group?
We get there early. They set up tables for us. We check the veterans in. They open up a line for just our veterans to check their bags. They have signs all over the place and usually red, white, and blue balloons. Then we go through TSA. TSA opens up a special line for us where the vets go through. In some cases, it's almost like they don't even know that they're going through TSA, but they are. We get up to the gate, and Southwest has a program where people, I think it's called Ticket A. They actually pay to be able to board early. We take 36 wheelchairs for 36 veterans, whether they need it or not. So these people may have paid for their advanced seating on the airplane, and here comes 36 veterans in wheelchairs. So they kind of get a little, you know, a little shocked look on their face. Keep in mind, we take about 86 people, give or take. So we're taking almost 2/3 of the airplane. Then here comes the rest of the regular passengers, and they come on, and for the most part, they get it. And they so respect the veterans. Typically, the pilots are veterans themselves. They'll always make a point of acknowledging the veterans on the plane. So we're real close to the non-honor flight passengers, and they get into it. They're applauding. They're asking questions. They want to know what's going on, what it's all about. And they are right into it. And once we get off the plane, spontaneous celebration happens quite often. Just people who are there in the terminal, just they applaud everyone that comes off. They give them their moment in the sun. It's incredible.
And I was having to be just the first one off the plane, and they were just like going crazy. I didn't expect it, but it's amazing. We got submarine veterans that go back to World War II. Of course, like I said, I'm one of the babies here. I'm only 70, and these are all these guys in their 80s and 90s.
And as we walk through, if we have to walk a long ways down the where the walkway is, where all the restaurants and stuff is, people stop, stand, and applaud. I mean, it doesn't get any better.
No, it's touching, especially for Vietnam vets. Stepped into this chaotic maelstrom when they came back to the States. So it's kind of adding closure, I guess, to their tour of duty.
At the end of last year, one of my best friends is a Vietnam veteran. He was a gunner, saw a lot of bad things in his life, is 100% disabled. And I was able to take him on the trip. As we were walking down that pathway where all the restaurants and stuff are, this is a rough, tough guy, all right? He just broke down.
What are some of the things you would recommend that people can do to help the organization?
Once we've invited a veteran and we've got confirmation that they're going to go, we start contacting the family members and friends if they put them down and ask them to send cards and letters. You know, reach out to the family members and reach out to their friends and send in cards and letters. They send them to us, to the team leaders' homes, and we sort them out, and each gets an envelope, a big envelope when we go on the airplane. They don't know about it, but halfway through, we play the old military mail call salute and call them name by name and pass out these envelopes to them. And they're just stuffed with envelopes and letters. And it takes a lot to do this. And we're not shy about this, Lee. In big round numbers, when we take 36 vets, 36 guardians, and the worker bees that make this happen back there, it runs anywhere between $75,000 and $90,000 for each trip. But we're 100% private and corporate funded. We've had some beautiful, beautiful donors over the years. We've had everybody from the Academy of Country Music, who sponsored one of our trips, which was really a kick. So once people hear the story and know the story and see it in action, they come out. They deliver for us.
I went in 67 of September, went to Vietnam in August of 68, and discharged out of Nam 12 months later in Oakland, and I came back without a Purple Heart, so I'm very pleased.
Let every nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
You are listening to the Crow's Feet Life as We Age Veterans Day special, dedicated to honoring our nation's veterans.
Terry Foster is a Vietnam War veteran. He served on the aircraft carrier USS Ticonderoga during the Vietnam War. Terry was an air captain responsible for the maintenance and pre-flight preparation of four jets, all of which ultimately got shot down by surface-to-air missiles over North Vietnam. Terry recently completed an honor flight trip. Terry,
Tell us about your experience.
It was just a moving experience. I probably welled up about 50 times in emotional tears, you know, gratitude, and tears actually fell probably 20 times. I'm a very patriotic guy, and just the whole feeling of being around fellow veterans. We had World War II veterans, three of them. One guy was 100 years old, had never flown before in his life. What an opportunity for him. I got to talk to all three of them. I talked to all of the Korean vets. The rest were Vietnam vets. And when we sat around the dinner table talking, I mean, we would share stories, many of which they'd never shared with other people because people who were there can't understand some of the stuff that can go on in that kind of a situation. And my daughter, who's sitting there with me, she was my guardian. You have to have a guardian. She was just blown away. She said, "Dad, you know, you've never talked about this." And I says, "Well, you know, people can't relate to what you go through in wartime, you know, but sitting there with comrades that did exactly that, you had to open up and just had some terrific, terrific story."
Well, first off, thank you so much for your service. What I'm finding nowadays, there is a lot of intense sincerity to that statement.
More so now, for sure. When I came back, I mean, fortunately, when the Ticonderoga pulled into San Diego, we're on a naval base, so we didn't go through the ridicule that many of my friends went through with people spitting on them. Our purpose was to prevent an expansion of communism. I mean, I totally believe that. I mean, I stood a month ago before the Vietnam Wall that I had been to before in front of the names of 55,000 guys that did not, simply because of the way we chose to fight that war.
If you were to give a speech or presentation to a group of senior citizens, our colleagues, our friends, you know, our generation, what would your message be in regards to veterans?
They chose to serve the nation. Well, the nation encompasses all of us. And in their service, they dedicated, unfortunately, many of them with their entire lives, to represent the freedom that we have in America, trying to expand that freedom throughout the world. As you go through boot camp and it's instilled in you the teamwork aspect of everything that you do. I mean, you hear the term a band of brothers. It's exactly true. It's exactly what you become. We were brothers. And I mean, we would look out for each other. We would do anything for each other because we're all fighting the same fight.
Is there anything you'd like to add to the conversation?
Yeah, just about the honor flight. They did so many subtle little things that were incredible and heartfelt. One of the classics is we had to meet at 4 o'clock in the morning. We got there, got everybody signed in and stuff, got on board the plane. And after the plane took off, you know, we're all exhausted, so we fall asleep. About 2 hours, they get on the microphone. They said, "All veterans, wake up, wake up." So what? Okay. What's this for? We had mail call. Anybody that served in the military knows that mail call is a pretty important thing. They had the mail call, and we got 11 by 14 packets filled with letters from our family, unbeknownst to us. We had no idea. Plus, probably another 10 to 15 letters from people we didn't even know, just thanking us for our service. And the emotional wave was very perceptible. Everybody had a grin on their face. It was just special.
My dad was a colonel in Army Air Corps in World War II. And then I went to Vietnam. I was a first lieutenant. And my son joined the Marine Corps. He was a sergeant in Baghdad. We've all served and we're very proud of this country and proud of this, our service. And appreciate everything this honor flight has done for us. This is the most phenomenal trip I've ever been on.
Craig Van Doren has made Honor Flight his passion and mission to salute our veterans in a unique and beautiful way. So, Craig, what is your overall message about veterans that you would like to share with our listening audience?
If I had one message to give, Lee, it would be simply to recognize the veterans for what they did. I cannot walk down an aisle in a supermarket or a Home Depot and see somebody with a military hat without acknowledging them some way, shape, or form. My own brother, he didn't wear his Vietnam hat for a long, long time. And now you can't get it off his head. I would just make sure that you take the time to recognize them, the recognition that they deserve. And, you know, it's an old saying, we couldn't do what we do without them having done what they did. You know, we just can't thank them enough. We just can't do enough for them. So take the time and say hi and say thank you.
And to all veterans who are listening, I will never forget your service to our country. And to our listeners, thank you for listening. If you have the time, please go hug a vet. I'd like to specially thank Betsy Allen, one of our writers and podcasters, for the time she spent at the war memorials, meeting the Honor Flight Southland on one of its recent trips.